Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Mean Green Nation podcast. This weekday edition previews the Louisiana Tech game out in Ruston this Saturday at 2:30 p.m. on Stadium for Facebook. To help us figure out what's happening with the Bulldogs, we brought on Jason Jones of the Louisiana Tech Rival site. So let's jump right into it. All right, Jason. Last we spoke, I was kind of hyping Louisiana Tech. I was like, they're the best team in the division and probably the conference. And, I believed in them. I said the coaching is great, and I think they can get through whatever injuries or maybe youth that is in their way. But that doesn't seem to be the case right now. Maybe I was wrong, or maybe I just, I was too optimistic. Where does Louisiana Tech stand as a program and I guess this season right now?
Well, it's really hard to tell. I think you're right. You could say they're young and inexperienced, or you could say they are one of the better teams in the West. I mean, when we last talked, they had just beaten Western Kentucky, and I don't know if they had played the South Carolina game at that point, but, they lost by 1 point, and they did everything right in that game. They had beaten Western Kentucky at the last minute, it seemed like, and then South Carolina, they had driven down the field. They made South Carolina use all three timeouts. They kicked the field goal to take the lead, 58 seconds left, and unfortunately they let them come back and win. And the same thing basically happened against UAB. They missed two extra points. They had penalties that kind of pushed the extra points back a little bit, but you should still make an extra point. And they missed two of them, and then they had a field goal blocked at the final second, and they lost by one. And then Southern Miss, you're at home, you're up 11, 4 minutes to go, you should win that game. And they allowed them to hit the field goal, get the onside kick, score the touchdown, and get the two-point conversion to force overtime. So it's just closing out games is a big problem for them. And I think that is a little bit inexperience and in youth. Some of it, was just, bad luck. And some of it, was coaching. The coaches, for whatever reason, they weren't able to close the deal. Now, the coaches will say they can prepare all you want, but the players have to make the plays, and that is true as well. So I think it's a little bit of everything. They've got all the talent in the world, and could very well be 7-1. I think Coach Holt said it best, on the radio this week.
Yeah.
They could be 7-1, ranked 24th in the country, and everybody be patting him on the back, and instead they're 4-4, and everybody's thinking, what's wrong with them?
Yeah, I think there's a lot to that. I mean, if you look closer at those UAB game, at the UAB game and the Southern Miss game, as you just mentioned, it's not like Louisiana Tech got blown out or anything like that. Like they kind of shot themselves in the foot, and so there's reason to think they'll figure this out. You know what I mean? Is that kind of the vibe there? It's like nobody's panicking, but they're just kind of maybe slightly concerned.
Yeah, I think it's not anybody's concerned or panicking, but it's just I think Tech fans did get their hopes up after the strong early start. Holtz has spoiled them, or us,
yeah.
I'll put myself in that. You go to three straight bowl games, you're always right there at the top of the West Division. And even though all those players are in the NFL now, Xavier Woods and Trent Taylor are doing their thing, you miss those guys, and you're putting players in those positions that have not played before. And so I think Tech fans kind of expected, they still got a lot of talent. They've recruited the high school ranks really well the last 3 years. They've got a lot of depth. It's just unproven depth. And so I think the future's bright. All these guys that are playing and taking their lumps are sophomores and freshmen. Got a few juniors, and they'll mostly be back next year, and they should be contending, for the conference. But they had a few balls bounced the wrong way, couldn't close out games, and so now they're just fighting to stay alive in the Western Division. Need a lot of good things to happen. They'll need some help. And it all starts, with this game against North Texas, who is the leader in the Western Division right now.
So what's the vibe there in Ruston? Do like most people kind of feel that they got this one? Like, I mean, North Texas is, the West Division leader, but, I think maybe – I don't know what everybody else's perception of North Texas is, because, we follow them so closely, and so, we see the flaws a little bit more magnified than everybody else does. So what is the perception of this team over there in Ruston?
Well, it's probably 50-50. Half the fans are negative by nature, maybe, and they're saying, this team's just not going to win anymore. Maybe we'll beat UTEP. We're not going to go bowling. It's going to be a 5-7 year, and North Texas and Florida Atlantic are about to come in here and blow us out. And then the other half says, we're at home. North Texas doesn't play great on the road the last couple of years. got a chance. They pass really well. They got a good quarterback, but Tech's strength is against the pass on defense. So, you know, Tech matches up okay. So maybe they got a chance. I don't think anybody's confident or overconfident, but I would say half the fans are at least cautiously optimistic, and the other half are definitely, oh, well, we have no chance. You know, they've got a great quarterback. They're going to come in here and steamroll us.
Yeah, I think it's kind of strange because, like, you know, over here in Denton and Texas and everything, we don't really have the same, I guess, kind of confidence that you would expect from a team that's leading the West Division and controls their own destiny. I mean, this is a very big game. You know, Louisiana Tech's been, you know, a good team for the past 3 or 4 years, as you mentioned. So this is a chance to kind of, you know, exercise those demons a little bit and kind of show that North Texas is really a player in this division, this conference and everything. But I think the way that Florida Atlantic handled North Texas in Boca Raton and the way that North Texas kind of chipped over themselves against ODU, like, that should have been a blowout, and instead it was a little bit closer than anybody was comfortable with. And so I don't know that, you know, everybody feels like super confident about this. There's a lot of on our side that's saying, like, oh, well, I don't know, Louisiana Tech's real tough. They're going to be difficult. And, you know, obviously Tech fans and everybody feels, as you explained, a little kind of, you know, not as confident as maybe in years past. So it's odd to me to have such a big game where nobody is super, I guess, super confident in going into it.
Yeah, I think you're right. The Old Dominion game probably has a little bit to do with that, just like for Tech. You know, it was tied at 28 against Rice last
yeah,
week.
Exactly.
And so Tech has not done a good job in the third quarter this year. They've allowed teams to get back in it. They'll have a little bit of a dry spell on offense where they'll go 2 or 3 series and not get much production and have to punt. And the other team gets to control the ball a little bit, and Tech's defense stays on the field a little bit. And, you know, Tech's defense gave up a lot of yards against Rice on the ground, which – since Tech joined the Western Athletic Conference, you know, over 15 years ago, they've matched up with Rice several times, and it seems like Rice always runs the ball well on Louisiana Tech. So, you know, a lot of people were pointing fingers at the defense, but I hate to say that the offense shares some of that blame, because the last 3 or 4 games, they'll come out at halftime and they'll just have a few series, but they're not getting much done, and the defense is staying on the field a lot. So, I think it's important for Tech to come out, you know, and get off to a hot start in the game like they have been doing, but also come out from halftime and finish strong. But I think Tech fans, after seeing that Rice game and letting Rice hang around, probably feel the same way that North Texas fans felt about the Old Dominion game.
Yeah, that was definitely not fun. We really needed a blowout, I think, for our own confidence. And, yeah, I was kind of looking at that Tech game, and I was like, oh, man, maybe – I wanted Tech to win because, you know, I didn't want Louisiana Tech to come off a loss. And then I just felt like that would be bad for North Texas.
It's an interesting game. I mean, you know, if North Texas wins, they're in big-time control of the West after beating UAB and Southern Miss. And then if they beat Louisiana Tech, I mean, they're in the driver's seat easy. If Tech can pull it off, you know, Tech's got 3 losses, but then Louisiana teams have 2 and 3 losses. So it's going to be kind of chaos in the Western Division.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, neutral observers are kind of rooting for a Tech win because it would throw everybody into, you know, a weird thing, and we had to break out that tiebreaker sheet. And I don't think anybody wants to do that. Yeah. So, all right, getting into the game a little bit. You know, I think Jamar Smith's a good quarterback. You know, he's rushed also for 284 yards, something like that, I believe, off the top of my head. I can't really remember. Give us a sense of what Louisiana Tech's offense looks like. I mean, how involved is he in the run game? Do they need him involved in the run game? You know, like, what's Tech all about?
Well, it's interesting you mentioned Jamar in the run game because nobody really knows what's going on. He seems to be a really good athlete and that he can run, but he seems like he's been hesitant to run, especially the first half of the season. He has more recently taken off a little bit, but – you know, both of his backups in the spring skipped town, and so they didn't have a lot of proven depth behind him. So we thought, well, maybe they're just trying to keep him from getting hit too much so he can be healthy and stay in the game because you have no proven commodity behind him.
Right.
So it's kind of – we're not sure. We don't know. We think if he ran more, you know, maybe it would open up the offense a little bit. I think they're having a little bit of offensive line issues because they've had to – scramble a little bit with some injuries. Their left tackle, Josh Outlaw, has missed a few guys this year, and they've had to move some guys around. And so this past game at Rice, they had to move their best offensive lineman, O'Shea Dugas, from left guard out to left tackle because there was nobody else. G. White Stallworth had got sick or something and couldn't make the trip, and he was the backup tackle. So the offensive line has been inconsistent. The receivers are extremely young. So outside of Teddy Veal, who's the Tulane transfer, he moved from outside to inside receiver, and he's been Jamie's favorite target. He's really the only consistent threat there at every receiver. Marlon Watts is a veteran guy on the outside. I think he's the second leading receiver. But Rasheed Bonnet is their deep threat. He's missed a lot of games. Adrian Hardy, I think he's a Houston, Texas native. He's missed several games due to injury. He had originally signed with Oklahoma and then transferred to Louisiana Tech. He's missed several games. So Javonte Woodard is another young guy that's missing games. So they've got young guys. They've got injuries. And so he just hasn't had a lot of dependability at receiver. And he hadn't had a lot of time because of that offensive line and all the moving around and all the moving parts. One thing that surprised me tremendously, Tech has three really good running backs. Boston Scott's really coming on the last couple weeks. Jared Kraft has been solid for 3 years.
Yeah.
And then Jaquise Dancy overcame, you know, cancer last year. He's back on the team. He had a really good game against UAB. I'm really surprised to see him not running more. I thought they would really try to ride those veteran running backs. And maybe with the injuries to the offensive line, maybe they don't feel like they can depend on the running game. But whatever it is, I'm really surprised. I thought I'd see more running from Coach Holtz and the offensive coaches.
Yeah, speaking of injuries and Coach Holtz, I think I heard him mention, might have been on a radio show this week, he said he took a look at the team sheet, and last year versus North Texas was two injuries, two people on the injury list, and this year is like 25. Is that really it? Is it just injuries, just, you know, people not getting on the same page because they don't have time together and rapport?
They've had a pretty bad run of injuries. I mean, like I mentioned, at receiver especially, at outside receiver, Rasheed Bonnet, Adrian Hardy, Javonte Woodard have all missed multiple games, and those were supposed to be some of their burners. You know, Alfred Smith, they call him Tarzan. He's a Utah transfer. He was supposed to start inside this year. He's out for the season. They've had a lot of really young receivers. They've had to play George Scott, a true freshman, in some games. And then with the offensive line, they've had several missed games. I think the offense has a little bit to do with it, but I think it's mostly just inexperience. I mean, you've got a lot of guys that were backups last year, or redshirts, and they're being thrown out there and expected to take the place of Carlos Henderson and Trent Taylor and Ron Higgins, and nobody can do that.
No, they can't. I think that's what kind of – I was excited to see those guys graduate, and I'm excited to see them in the NFL because they tore up North Texas secondary last year. And I think we felt like we had an okay secondary. You know, we had Nate Brooks out there and Eric Jenkins, and they had nothing for those two guys. So I'm definitely excited to see them in the NFL, not out there in a lining up for Tech. So, like, what are your general feelings about this game? Like, deep down inside, you know, you had a chance to kind of look at North Texas a little bit and think about it as press conferences and things. I mean, what's your gut feeling about this game?
I think it's a must-win game if Tech wants to go to a bowl game. I hope the team has that sense of urgency. I think they do. You know, I think they had a sense of urgency for the Southern Miss game 2 weeks ago. I mean, they really came out and played well for 3.5 quarters. And then, unfortunately, the bottom dropped out, and they gave up those 11 points in the final 4 minutes. So I think they'll come back and play a strong game, but – you know, I don't think they've seen very many quarterbacks of that caliber. And so I'm kind of anxious to see how they play against the passing attack. And I'm just cautiously optimistic. I feel like they'll bounce back. I feel like they'll have a good game because they really do need the win. With Florida Atlantic coming the next weekend, it's going to be a lot of pressure to win this one. And so I think it's going to go down to the wire. I think it's going to be a shootout. I'm just hoping – you know, Tech's been scoring around 20 points to 23, 24 points a game the last several weeks. I don't think they've got 30-plus points in them. So I'm just hoping the defense really steps up and can keep this game under 30. I think if it gets over 30, North Texas will win.
Yeah, I think those are good points that you made. And that's kind of what I'm concerned about there, like North Texas going to a, I want to say, hostile environment. I mean, Ruston's always tough for North Texas playing, and I mean, Tech always gives them a good game, and I think Tech has a number. out there, except for that one year. I think it was a transition year. Then General Texas won that one. Well, we appreciate your time, Jason. Can you tell the people where we can find you on the internet?
Yeah, check us out. It's the LouisianaTechRivals.com site, BleedTechBlue.com, or you can find us on Twitter, BleedTechBlue, at BleedTechBlue, or at Big Jason Jones.
All right, appreciate it, man. Thank you. You have a good one.
Appreciate it, you too.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was Jason Jones. Thanks again to him. Alda, you're here now. You're doing dad duties or something?
Yeah, I'm present now.
So, what's your take, man, on this game? If you ain't know, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know, North Texas has a very huge, very large, very important game this weekend, this Saturday at 2:30 in Ruston, Louisiana. It's always a tough place to play. Louisiana Tech is a team with a lot of history. Probably like at the G5 level, one of the most, storied programs. You know, there's like from the WAC, everybody throwing it around, you know. Louisiana Tech is a good program. And, you know, they have a good team this year. Even with the two losses, we're looking at our spot. We're like, we're pretty good. We're pretty good. We think we can beat them. The advanced numbers say we're going to beat them. But they only barely lost to UAB on the road. And then Southern Miss, who's a good team. You know, we saw that ourselves at home. And, you know, it required like an epic comeback to come back and beat them in overtime. So I don't think we should overlook this team. Coming into this one, I always thought it was going to be the toughest game and that Louisiana Tech was probably going to beat us here. Given all the circumstances, our offense is better than I thought it'd be. Our defense is pretty solid when it wants to be. And, you know, Louisiana Tech kind of shooting themselves in the foot and being injured. I feel good about this game. I don't know if I'm going to go out right and say we're going to win. Definitely not going to say we're going to win easily. How do you feel about it, Aldo?
I think this is going to be a 50-50 game, particularly because it's a road game. That has a big factor into it. I mean, La Tech hasn't been its usual self. It's not the dominant team it's been in the past. You know, the past two games, they've outscored us 1,000 points to 2 points.
Yeah.
So I think we have a shot in this game. You know, we have to respect them because they've been so consistent in the conference for a while. But North Texas has an opportunity. They've got a potent enough offense. If they stay consistent through the whole game, you know, if they don't disappear in any of the quarters or more than one quarter, then we have a chance to win this. It won't be an easy win, but, you know, if Louisiana Tech wins, I think I would say, okay, I saw that coming. But if North Texas wins, you know, you can also say, oh, I saw that coming too. It's almost up in the air.
Well, I guess let's set the range, right? A North Texas win. I think by this time we kind of know our team, right? We know what we can get. On a good day, North Texas comes out, scores on the first two or three drives. They hit a little low, second and third quarter, as the other team figures this out. And as our maybe inexperience or youth or just kind of whatever gets in the way, we don't really click. And we pick it up in the fourth quarter. I think we're one of the better teams in the fourth quarter in the nation. By the advanced numbers. And, you know, somewhere in there, the defense gives up about 3-4 scoring drives a game, you know, field goals, touchdowns. And depending on the day, on a good day, our special teams is great and solid, you know what I mean? Maybe block a kick. And on a bad day, we allow big returns and, you know, things happen. So, you know, that's pretty much us. And for the most part, we've been really good, you know, like that's, it's not bad. We're a winning team that way. And I don't think Louisiana Tech is at the point where we're like, you know, they're just going to they're going to be so good defensively or they have so much talent that they can break us, you know, force us out of what we are. I think we'll still get what we want. They have a good pass defense. They have talent in pass defense. But, you know, I don't think it's anything that we saw, you know, at Florida Atlantic or even UTSA. We can take advantage of that kind of thing. Because even Florida Atlantic didn't really just completely shut down North Texas. There was a little bit of other things happening there. So, that's the best day. Worst day is what? Against, like, SMU, against Florida Atlantic, against a little bit of Iowa in there when they were not hitting on the big ones. They were getting the deep plays, but they just didn't hit them. Where Mason Fine is a little freaky. He's trying to rush some things and throws an interception or two, where we fumble the ball, where we're dropping passes, where the offense is not converting those short yard plays that we talked about this weekend. And, you know, the defense is giving up big plays. That's the worst North Texas. And I guess, yeah, we saw that worst North Texas against Florida Atlantic. The defense couldn't get off the field and the offense couldn't do anything. And for Blip there against SMU, where the offense couldn't convert a fourth down play, a third down play, and we also couldn't defend the pass game, and Cortland Sutton just completely eviscerated us. That's the worst North Texas. Yeah, that's the worst North Texas. Everywhere else, I mean, I'll take that. I'll take even the way they played against Old Dominion, because they scored early, right? Against UTSA, 13 straight points. Against Old Dominion, was it 14 straight points? I'll take it, man. I'll take it.
Yeah, I'm more worried about our offense than I am their offense. You know, like our offense going three and out several times in a row versus their offense going up and down the field. I forgot to put together a little, you know, Twitter article. I was tweeting some stuff earlier talking about how La Tech was really good in the red zone. You know, they don't necessarily march up and down the field on big plays. They take them in chunks. But once they get into the red zone, they're pretty consistent in scoring. For us, however, it's a little bit different. We are better at scoring from outside the red zone, and we struggle a little bit once we get in the red zone. So we have to be better about scoring in the red zone, and we have to be really good about keeping La Tech out of the red zone, forcing them to punt. Don't let them march up and down the field like they do, because we allow 100% scoring against, and I think this is, I'm thinking about the conference. We allow 100% for trips inside the red zone for scoring.
And I think a lot of that had to do with Florida Atlantic just scoring every time they got in there, right? So I made a mention about how we're really good in fourth quarter. Fourth quarter S&P plus. We are, the average is 120.9, which ranks 17th in the nation. Defensively, 114.7, ranks 18th in the nation. We're really good. Like I said, we're really good in the fourth quarter. First quarter, it kind of depends, 28th. Second quarter, we're 50. Third quarter, 32nd. You know, good on in the fourth quarter. By the way, our third down defensively, 126th rank in the nation.
Not good.
See, that's the cool thing when the advanced stats kind of tell you what you know. We already know we're not that great on third down. So there it is. It says we're not good on third down. And also, like, our power rushing is not good either. I mean, but we knew that. We know we have trouble getting the short yard stuff, and that's also why we have trouble scoring in the red zone when everything's compressed and you need to push a guy 2 yards back so you can score a touchdown. So that's why we can trust these numbers, you know, like, to give us an idea of what's up, especially if we don't know too much about the particular team. We haven't watched them a whole lot. So what we have here is a Louisiana Tech team that has talent. Like you said, they can score, they can bust open something. I don't think their ISO PPP, which is their explosive measurement, is that amazing. I think it's like they're ranked 78th. Like, by comparison, what are we ranked? I'm going to look at the number real quick. We are ranked, shattered available. We're ranked 26. So we're better than them on that. But, I mean, it all kind of depends on the situation, right?
It's Jeffrey Wilson, yeah.
Yeah. And that's the other part, is that they have some injuries. They had a couple guys, you know, banged up, some of the receivers. Talking to Jason right now, you just heard him say, yeah, I think sometimes that's maybe why, you know, the offense is struggling. I think I heard Skip Holtz mention that a couple times. Like, well, he's not trusting his receiver because it's not Carlos Henderson out there. It's not Trent Taylor. You know, he can't just trust him to make a play. He has to kind of see if this new guy is going to make the play or if he's actually going to execute the route. So that's in our favor. Similarly, if Jeff Wilson is not available to go, or if he's still banged up, or he's maybe tired, or I don't know what, right, then we have to look at Nick Smith, Evan Johnson, and say, can you do what Jeff Wilson normally does? And he does a whole lot. Pass protection. It's great. You know?
Yeah, and that's a, I think that would be, if he misses any time, that would be the biggest, you know, factor that we'll miss out of him, because he's basically another lineman out there. We know that the line isn't perfect. We allow a lot of sacks and tackles for losses. Maybe not as much as last year, but it's still disruptive when you're turning a you know, a second and three to a third and 13. That changes the rhythm of your drives and you know, forces you to punt, puts you out of field goal range, or puts you out of you know any kind of scoring drive.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that was the one against was it UTSA when we had an 18-yard loss because of that bad snap. Little things like that, man. Execution. I mean, I don't know. You can't really do anything about it other than just get better over a year's time.
Yeah, and you know, just some of these guys have only been in the system 1 year. You know, it depends of who's at center, and the other guys have had only, you know, actual playing time for just a few games. You know, going into last season as well. So we're thin at depth in a lot of spots, and it shows. It's been showing as we've gotten farther down in the season, but we've been able to overcome a lot of these issues by just winning the game in the fourth quarter.
That's the thing. Can we get to the fourth quarter? I'm sitting here thinking about how we're going to play this game. You know, I talked about like the best version of North Texas is a team that comes out, wins, right, and scores in the first couple of possessions. Basically play like we play at home. I saw the North Texas football team. The Twitter account tweeted, like, you know, North Texas scored on the first two drives in every game at home, right? First four games of the season. That, I mean, I guess, are we comfortable there? Is it that we feel comfortable? Is it just the teams that we're playing? I mean, Old Dominion is definitely not Florida Atlantic, right? So maybe it's that. Louisiana Tech is a tougher team than Old Dominion. They're tougher in that they're a little bit different than, like, a UTSA. I'll go ahead and say that I think Skip Holtz is probably a better coach than Frank Wilson. And so if it comes down situational football, again, if it comes down to we're 3 yards away from winning this game, we can't rely on that dude to, you know, to make the play for us, right? To make the call for us. So what do we do? We have to win the game before that. You know what I mean? We have to execute before that. Grant Merrill has to not call terrible plays in those situations, right? Mm-hmm. Like you did against Old Dominion and UTSA, and you can maybe even mix in FAU in there. A couple of those play calls were kind of strange.
Yeah, and it seems like he flip-flopped, you know, play calling. Like in UTSA, we tried to do these runs that didn't work. Against Old Dominion, we were just going to pass when we need to actually kill the clock. Yeah. So it's little things like that where he just has to learn. He's a new play caller. You see, and that for some reason they included it in the highlights for last week, but you see Seth Littrell shaking his head after, you know, a bad third down call.
I mean, it also could be that he's like shaking his head at the execution. I mean, but it could be either. All right, so Jamar Smith, he's a good quarterback. I've said on here and on the Twitter machine. I'm like, yeah, I think this dude's a good quarterback, Jamar Smith. He hasn't really played. I mean, again, I always say, like, you need to be throwing, like, 60-65% and probably hit your yards per attempt around 7 or 8 for me to say this is a great time. He's at 1,960 yards, 10 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. Completion rate is 56%. Not great. 16 sacks he's taken, which is, you know, whatever. 6.8 yards per attempt, which is not bad, you know. I think he's going to have a little bit more success against us. If you look at what Steven Williams did, you know, he was able to hit some guys running wide open. When we play a lot of man coverage, which we do, then, you know, it's basically one play, right? Like, one time, one guy beats a guy. Can you find him at that moment? And, I think, you know, they'll get free of our guys maybe once or twice. I like Eric Jenkins against Teddy Veal. I like Kimon Hall against Teddy Veal. But those are not where we've been giving up the biggest plays recently since Eric Jenkins has been back in. Some of those seam routes, some of those third or fourth receiver getting the first down, big first down on third down. You know, you heard Jason Jones list a bunch of these guys. I don't know which one of those dudes it's going to be, but I think that J'Mar Smith is good enough to hit those guys in stride, to find those dudes, make a play. And that's going to be concerning. Yeah, that's going to be concerning for us. We're going to have to, you know, you talked about the big playability. That's where we're going to have to figure things out. They're pretty good hitting big plays. They're not, you know, we're talking about explosive plays. They're really good hitting big pass explosive plays, not necessarily the run ones, which is interesting. Also, he can move. You talked about his run game.
Yeah, he can extend. You know, I haven't scouted much of La Tech, but he can extend plays. Looking down the field, he doesn't necessarily go for first downs like to the extent that Steven Williams does with his legs. But he does keep plays alive, and he's really hard to tackle. He's let me see what his size is. He's 230 pounds.
Yeah, he's a big old dude.
So he's gonna be tough to tackle. You know, you can't arm tackle him. You have to go for his arms if you're not able to make the full tackle, or, you know, just hit him like he's basically a fullback. He's 6'1", 230 pounds, and he can run with the ball. His yards per attempt is 7.6. That's pretty decent, like you were saying, but it's off enough. Going back to the, you know, you said 56-57%.
Yeah.
That I think that we can exploit that. I think Eric Jenkins can keep us in the game, and I think that's what's gonna help us out. That their offense isn't, while it's consistent, it can get yards and can get points, it's not explosive enough to, you know, keep us at bay. And Louisiana Tech is one of the worst in the leagues, or is the worst in conference games at time of possession, and that works in our favor because we are so explosive, so efficient. With scoring, that I think that we can put the game away.
I think one thing that concerns me is that Louisiana Tech has 11 interceptions. We went into that Florida Atlantic game thinking, okay, I mean, sure, they lead the conference in interceptions, but they're not going to, two interceptions against us. And just to kind of follow up on that, they picked off Mike White twice, right? So they are for real, Florida Atlantic's defense. Louisiana Tech has 11 interceptions at this point. I'm saying, what is their? I have to see their game log. Who do they play? They get more interceptions against. Three against Rice, which is understandable, but two against Southern Miss. They also throw interceptions, but we didn't get any against Keon Howard or Quadric Griggs. So, they picked off Northwestern State, but we didn't. Did we get an interception against Lamar? I don't think we did. And they intercepted Mississippi State once. So,
it's been a fun year.
Yeah, it's pretty decent. Trey Rufford said that was going to be the case. He's like, when you play man-to-man defense, you don't get as many interceptions. When you play zone, you get more interceptions, but you give up a lot of yards, whatever. For our part, we intercepted Old Dominion twice, but Steven Williams is an interception machine. Nothing against Florida Atlantic, UTSA, or Southern Miss. And, the one against UAB, was that a tip? Was that a tip? I can't remember. That concerns me about Louisiana Tech.
Part of it is opportunity. When you pass more against it, or when a team gets passed more on them, they have more opportunities for interceptions. So it's a combination of those two things. People against the conference, teams have passed over 48 times per game against Florida Atlantic, and the next most one is 35 times a game against Charlotte. So that's a huge difference in pass attempts, and it's probably because of scoring. You know, teams are forced to pass more against Florida Atlantic. Louisiana is not too far behind. They pass against them 34 times a game. That's a lot. So that gives them more opportunities for interceptions. I'm not terribly concerned about that.
I'll just say this. Teams pass 35 times a game against us. We are tied for the most attempts a game against us. So, there's been lots of opportunities for us to get interceptions, and we have not.
Right, right.
I'm not really. We know what's up with our team, right? They hold quarterbacks to 118, which is like middle of the pack in the conference. Again, they're pretty decent pass defense. I mean, if you say Western Kentucky's the best, UAB, we passed all over UAB, Florida Atlantic. We got some late. Marshall got torn apart by FIU, and then, you know, UTSA is just under Louisiana Tech. So, I mean, it's kind of hard to say. I think on our day, when we're dealing, when Mason Fine is dealing, and, you know, you heard Jason say the same thing. He doesn't think that Louisiana Tech's played a quarterback like Mason Fine just yet. I don't think anybody's – this is the best pass offense in the league. Most explosive, Mason Fine's averaging about 300 yards a game, even in a blowout. When we're up or down, you know, we do okay. So I think we can pass against them just because we have been able to do that against such a variety of defenses. We just have to not turn the ball over. That's what it is. Yeah, we can get 20 yards. You know, there's a couple of drives against Old Dominion where we had a 22-yard pass to Rico Bussey, 7-yard pass this way, then a 9-yard run, and then we try to go for it on fourth down and we miss it. So what good did the pass yards do? Well, it helped us punt the ball from a better position, I guess. You know, it's not really what we need. We need scoring drives and not just yards. You know, we need effective yards, and that's where like points per possession comes in. That's where the advanced stats get that from. The efficiency is how are you getting the yards to get first downs, and you know, finishing drives, points per trip in the 40, that kind of thing. So, I mean.
Yeah, turnover margin is going to be real important. North Texas is third worst against conference.
Yeah.
Minus -5, and Louisiana Tech is third best, or tied for second, with +4.
So, I mean, this is a road game. We've sucked on the road. Southern Methodist loss, big loss, 54-32. We didn't play well. I think the win expectancy was 13%. Our defensive percentile was 14%. Our offensive percentile, 74%. At Iowa, offense, 19%. Defensive percentile, 25%. Overall win expectancy, 1%. We didn't play that well, even though we still feel like we did a good job there. And then at Southern Miss, it was our best game. That was our best performance, obviously. But even then, we started out pretty poorly. What are we down? We're down like 21-something?
17?
Yeah. It was non good, and then obviously the Florida Atlantic was pretty terrible too. So you look at those four games. SMU's a little bit better than we thought. Okay, Iowa is a little bit outside our league. Okay, Southern Miss right in our wheelhouse, and we spotted them points. We had to make a comeback. Florida Atlantic, obviously, we spotted them points, and then we never came back. So is that us? Is that who we are? Is that old quote from what's his face? You know, the tuna.
We are who we thought we were.
Yeah, you, well, I mean, like, you are what your record says you are. If you're 1-4 on the road, 1-3 on the road, you're a 1-3 road team. You know, you're not good. You're not good on the road. So it's kind of strange that we're predicted to win this game. But I think, like, our win probability from the S&P, Bill Connelly one is 55%. I haven't looked at the Sagarin ones or the Massey ratings. Have you taken a look at any of those?
No.
But I think we're not expected to do poorly in this game, and I don't know how that makes me feel. Like, what are they looking at? What is it? What is it that they're thinking there?
Well, you know, you got me thinking on the whole road thing, and we're actually one of the best in the league on the road on offense, but we're also the worst in the league on defense.
Yeah. Massey predicts us to lose the game. Win probability of 34%. They say Louisiana Tech is going to win 42-37. So there you go.
Yeah, it should be a high scoring game. I would take the over if it's set at like 70.
Let me see. What does the Sagarin rating say? They think Louisiana Tech is going to win by a point. There you go. There's that 41-40. And then I think we're like 3-point dogs. Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's what that was it at the beginning of the week.
Yeah, 3, so you know, to 3.5. Yeah, it's I don't know what to make of this game. That's the thing. It's like,
yeah, I'm the same way.
Yeah, I said to Jason a little while ago, and I'll say it again. It's a weird game. It's such a huge game. North Texas controls their destiny. You look at the record, you're like, all right, 5-3, 4-1 in conference. This is the best situation that North Texas has been in a long time, right? Controlling their destiny since 2013. And, playing a Louisiana Tech team that's down a little bit. It's not, didn't play well against Rice last week. They lost to Southern Miss. They're young. This is the time to take advantage of them, of a team that's taking advantage of us in our low moments. And get a stranglehold on this conference. And yet, I don't think we feel good about it. Why? Well, because last week against Old Dominion, a team that we should have beaten fairly easily, we struggled with them. And, the previous week against maybe the future competition, if we do take the stranglehold, they destroyed us. They took us completely apart, and they set conference records and team records, and they got on ESPN about it. You know what I mean?
But nobody watched it, so it's okay.
And nobody was there to see it.
I feel confident in this game, but, there's something just, it doesn't feel, something will happen where we're going to struggle. I don't know how to explain it. I feel confident in the game, but at the same time, because it is a road game against a team like La Tech, they are able to take advantage of our mistakes, while a team like Old Dominion isn't able to take full advantage of our mistakes.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It's like, I was talking about Jamar Smith, that Stephen Williams is, he surprised us when he was able to do that. And he engineered, three, four scoring drives, 18 straight points. I think Louisiana Tech does more than that, right? Because they have a better quarterback. They have a better coaching staff. Well, yeah, they have a better coaching staff. I mean, Bobby Wilder's a good coach. But, we'll go ahead and give the nod to Skip Holtz there. They have a good enough coaching staff that they can take advantage. And they have talent, even if they don't have depth. You know what I'm saying? Like, they have guys that can make plays, even if they are not just don't miss a beat dudes. You know what I'm saying? And right now, we don't have a whole lot of depth. We've been talking about it on the show. We're like, we're getting guys into that position. But if Mason Fine's not playing well, I mean, we all like Quinshon Boer. But do we feel super confident he's going to just step right up and throw for 400 yards?
Product of the system, man.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be great. It makes me laugh. After the North Texas games, I'll kind of stay up watching some Pac-12 football as I'm writing up the recap, and I see like Washington State playing. See Mike Leach, who's great, one of my favorite coaches. He's like, Luke Falk, you suck. Let me get you out this game and drop in this other dude, and this guy throws for 400 yards. A plug and play kind of thing. Luke Falk replaced Connor Halliday way back when, and he broke a lot of his records. You know what I'm saying? Like, that kind of stuff happens with his, and that's what we want. But I don't know if we're there yet. Is Quinshon Boer, can he just step in there and throw for 350 yards? Same kind of way. I don't know.
Why can't we put Kevin Dillman in there? It's a conspiracy.
Hey, Chumley, get back over here, man. Let's see what you know.
We got plenty of quarterbacks on the team.
Yeah, that's what concerns me. When we talk about depth, that's what I'm thinking about. I think about that stuff. I mean, and Mason Fine takes some of these hits, man. And, he's getting up all slowly. Maybe he needs to get on some of this Tom Brady quackery where he says he feels like butter because he can make his muscles just respond, absorb the impact or whatever.
Think the pain away.
Yeah. I mean, if it works for you, yeah, think the pain away, man. That concerns me. Those things concern me. I like what we saw from Nick Smith, but I don't know if he's at the full-on Jeff Wilson. That's it. Everybody named Smith makes everybody become a Smith. It's like a cascading style sheet. You get my point, right? I think everybody understands what I'm saying here.
I like what we have from Nick Smith. I've been excited about him since last season.
Yeah.
And the great thing of, we're all saying, he's not fully developed like Wilson is, yet he's still really good.
Yeah.
He's good at creating space. He fakes dudes out. He's a great receiver. You know, he scores touchdowns either running the ball or receiving, and yet he's still a redshirt freshman. We're talking about how he's not fully developed, but he's he's doing really well.
Yeah, and those are great points. The other part is that running backs do develop a little bit quicker than other positions. You know, like a quarterback takes a little bit longer to develop because just so much you have to absorb. But a running back, a lot of it is give me the ball and I'm going to go run with it, right? That's
this play's going left.
Yeah, yeah,
this
okay.
Play's going right.
All right, cool. I can do that. So, I mean, there is technique involved, but there's not a whole lot. I mean, people have been running with the football their whole lives by this time they get to this level. So there is some of that there. He is a redshirt freshman, and then we're already over halfway through the season. So he's almost a redshirt sophomore now. You know what I mean? So I see what you're saying. I agree with you. But I think, you know, again, to break down teams that are really good, you need to have a guy that has seen it and done it, I think. You know?
Yeah, he certainly doesn't have the nuances of the game that even Jeff Wilson had at this point in his career. You know, his freshman year, Jeff Wilson had better running back talent in terms of not just raw talent, but like faking a guy out, looking a certain way at the handoff, pointing his feet in a certain direction in order to manipulate the linebackers. So he's manipulating the linebackers during the handoff, and Nick Smith is not there yet. He's just really has a lot of raw talent that he can just shake dudes out of their shoes. So that gives me hope for the future, and hopefully this coaching staff can coach those things that Jeffrey Wilson does naturally to Nick Smith.
Let's do it, man. Let's see it. All right, so what else do we have before we get to the end here? We got about 10-15 minutes left in the show. In this episode, are you going to make it out to Ruston?
No, not me.
Yeah, no, I was trying to get a little watch party together here in San Antonio, and somebody shamed me on the board. Like, oh, Adam, you gotta get some people together there. I'm like, okay, well, let's see what's what. And then Ren Baker's like, well, I'll meet you out in Ruston, you know, because I was like, hey, does anybody in San Antonio want to meet up? He's like, well, I'll meet you out in Ruston. You can make it. I believe in you. I like Ren. He's always selling. Good on him. That's the way to do it. But no, I will not be making it out to Ruston. My kids are just like a little too young to make that 8-hour drive, you know? So no, not today. But I will be watching it. And it's unfortunate that the game is on Stadium for Facebook. I think it's Stadium Facebook, Facebook Stadium.
Stadium.
Yeah. But broadcasts have been pretty decent. You know, people have said good things, but I still don't like having to rely on the internet to do this all the time. But, you know, there you go. We're glad that we're on TV, and we're glad that it's broadcast in HD and professional, with professionals doing the thing and not just, you know, the amateurs that they grab from the media department at the school. That is not good.
I was watching a stadium game earlier in the season. I think it was the UTSA game the week before they played us.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they might have played, actually, they might have been UTSA versus Southern Miss. It's not bad. Yeah. It's not as bad as Conference USA TV.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the thing there is that, like, that was produced by the local broadcast team. So it was pretty decent. Like, it's Citywide Sports Network, they call it. So I think maybe that is why it was so well done. But, yeah, I take your point there. I watched the Florida Atlantic-Western Kentucky game. That was pretty decently produced. I noticed that, Scott Van Pelt, he wanted to do the bad beat for the Rice-Louisiana Tech game. And that was on Conference USA TV. But he was like, well, we couldn't get the video. It was unavailable to us at this time. And so I was just, you know, that kind of is an indicator there of how poor Conference USA TV is. And, you know, I think I've seen some stadium highlights on the big stuff. So good for that, I guess. I'm not complaining. I'm just pointing it out. It's going to be on Stadium. It's our first stadium game this season, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah.
It could be worse.
it could be, yeah. And, like, I think somebody said that this week on the Slack, and I said, yeah, we've seen the worst. The nothing, which is the Sun Belt, when they're like, no TV, you just have to listen. And, you know, even though it's the 2000s, we have to act like it's 1935.
Yeah, in those days, I had to open up my ESPN app and track it there.
Yeah, and I think there's a whole joke about all the times that you did that, and you see that North Texas is already losing. You're like, well, I guess it's already... It's a normal Saturday. I opened up my phone, and North Texas is down by 21.
And they've only had one scoring drive.
This is bad times. Bad times then. So, good, huge matchup. Are you excited? Are you excited for this matchup to the same level that you were about the UTSA matchup?
I don't think I'm as pumped up about it as I am or as I was for UTSA. I think I'm a little more, you know, I feel a little reluctant, a little nervous.
Yeah.
We need to keep, I want to see us at 6-3, not 5-4. So I think it's that nervous, contained excitement.
So let's just quickly go through off the top of our heads. What's at stake in this game? Chance for bowl eligibility for our guys. That's
number one
on the list. If you follow along with Seth Luttrell's goal sheet, which is win our bowl game, well, you have to get to a bowl, right? Before you become a bowl team, before you can win a bowl game. So that's number one. And I think we mentioned before, there's enough like bowl eligible teams right now that it's a possibility that North Texas would need to win 7 before they could just, you know, feel good about 6. You know what I mean? Like maybe 7 is the actual practical bowl eligibility line, but 6 wins will be the first time that South Shell reached 6 wins. That's the other part. We already have 5. We had 5 last season. We never got to 6. So hashtag hit 6 is at stake.
No.
Number 2, and maybe it's a little bit more important, is controlling the destiny, controlling the Conference USA West destiny. It doesn't actually wrap it up because I think there's a scenario where if North Texas would lose to UTEP and or Rice, then you know things could happen. But I hadn't thought about
it. Yeah, they'd have to win one more conference game.
Yeah, but this is the toughest opponent that they face, and a team that still has like a chance to kind of mess things up, like if they win out and they get the help they need. So, I mean, already UAB fans are like, come on, Louisiana Tech. And I know UTSA fans are thinking the same thing. So UAB and UTSA have yet to play. So it could be if we lose, then UAB and UTSA will battle it out for basically who's going to try to go up against us in a tiebreaker if we drop one to Rice or UTEP. And I don't want to count out either of those teams because we lost to one and we were down 17 to the other at one point in the game.
We just need to be the better team and win out the rest of the season. If we lose this game, then honestly we don't have any business being in the conference title game.
Yeah, I agree with that. We talked about this last couple of weeks. Hey, we got to be the team that's okay with these expectations, that hungrily embraces these kinds of moments. Like, yeah, I think what was great about Lane Kiffin, that hated guy now, right? He was saying, as he was laughingly, jokingly tweeting about their trip up to Western Kentucky, hey, Western Kentucky has been the best team in the league past couple seasons. That ends today. Go FAU. Like, that's a great approach. Like, he feels confident in his team. That's the approach that we need to have. We need to have the appropriate fear, but we need to have the appropriate confidence also. And at least the fan base, I don't think we have that over here, but I'm hoping that the team does.
I mean, at this point in the grand scheme of things, in year two of the Seth Luttrell era, getting to 6 wins to me is a lot more important than the conference title game. The conference title game is secondary. If we can get past 6 wins, if we can get to 7 wins, I think that would be a great success. Going from a team that was 1-11 in the worst loss in NCAA history 2 seasons ago to being the best offense or one of the best offenses in Conference USA and, you know, a top 25 offense in the nation, that's huge. I'm not even thinking about the conference title game. I just want to just win the games and have, you know, stay above 500.
I think that's definitely a way to look at it. I've been of the mind that, you know, I've been saying this before on here, that if we're going to judge North Texas and the coaches that come through here, the way we do it is to say that you should be competing for conference titles every few years, right? Like, definitely 3 or 4 years in that cycle, you should be competing. So, like, a La Tech, this is a down year, right? They competed the last 2 years. They're kind of reloading. You want them to generally be good, and they always have a chance to win because it's Conference USA. But you don't have, like, the you definitely should be out there winning. Yeah, does that make sense? And so, you know, Seth the Show addressed this during the conference, the press conference this week, and he's like, you know, we want to be a team that always competes, that has expectations every year, not just every couple years. And I thought that was interesting because he was basically refuting me. But I think that's the right way to approach it. If you're the coach, you have to, I mean, maybe behind closed doors, they're like, all right, this is a reloading year. If we can get something out of it, yeah. But my public face is saying, yeah, we want to compete for titles every year. Yes, it's the way you need to approach it. But,
I mean, just by the eye test, I don't know if this team is a conference title team.
Yeah.
But like I said, I don't care. I want us to get to at minimum 7 wins and be a respectable team. You know, put us on the map again, and then in order to establish consistency with recruiting, with expectations next year, you know, we're not going to say, oh, you know, we only won 4 games last year. Hopefully we'll hit, you know, 5 games. You know, we win those X number of games and we feel good about this team. It's this team that's growing together. Okay, since we barely missed out on the conference title, you know, if we don't make it there this year, definitely we are, you know, hunting for that. We got our bowl game. Now this year is conference title year.
I can see that. I mean, yeah, I think every year we should be bowl eligible, competing for that kind of thing and be in the race. I agree with you. I don't think that this North Texas team comprises what I would consider a conference championship team. That said, I do think that North Texas is the top 2 or 3 team in this conference, just based on what I've seen. You know, I rank them like 2nd or 3rd in the power rankings every week. And that means you're a contender, right? That means you're a contender. Because has North Texas played better than Rice this season? Yes. Then UTEP? Definitely. Then Charlotte? Yes. Then Old Dominion? Yes. And even on the day they played them, they played a little bit better. Then UTSA? Yes. You keep going through the list, and you can't even say FIU played better sometimes, and they look awful other times. And then you have to do some transitive property things. Like, North Texas looked bad, but they've looked bad against good teams. Iowa's a good team. Southern Methodist is a good team. And Florida Atlantic is a good team. And those are 3 teams we've looked poor against. So you can say, well, okay, that's understandable. I feel like that's kind of logical there. And, you know, that all that adds up to say that we should beat the teams the rest on the schedule. La Tech is the toughest team we face, but they're beatable. And so beatable teams means you have a chance. And that means that North Texas and that means Seth Luttrell should play to their like 85 percentile. That's what I'm expecting out there, right? They should play the best version of themselves. Don't beat yourself up, right? Don't come out less excited, as he said, right? Don't take any selfie pictures, I guess. You have a pool party, but don't take a picture of it. Don't mess up on special teams and try not to get hurt, I guess. I mean, injuries happen, so you can't really control that, but you can control your preparation leading up to it. You can control your technique so you're not just flailing and you don't get hurt, you know. If North Texas can do that, I think they have a real shot of winning this game. A real, real shot.
For sure. Well, like I said, that's the confidence that I have in the team.
Yeah,
but you know that there's a little part of me in the back of my head saying, "Oh well, inexperience and depth can hurt us and bite us."
So what I'd like to see, I think Josh Wheeler still probably out. That's going to be a big blow, considering everything. But I think for the most part, everybody's mostly healthy. There's some people dinged up. But that's a big loss there. You want to see somebody step up there. I don't know who that's going to be.
And about depth, you know, with Wheeler missing a game, Deion Noble is going to step in and play. He's in the two deep. I think that's the two deep tweet that I saw from Greg showed Deion Noble in the lineup.
So we had was your time to shine, kid. Prove us all wrong, I guess. Say, no, we got depth, man. We got lots of depth. Dude's gonna get 4 sacks in this game. That'd be great.
He's gonna get 80 sacks.
Yeah, that'd be amazing. That's what it comes down to. But everybody, we can't even play that card. Like, well, we would have won if Josh Wheeler was not injured because Louisiana Tech has everybody injured. How do you feel? What's your gut tell you right now? What's your prediction tell you?
My prediction?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, everything we said.
81-0.
Again? 81-0.
Again.
That was a tough, bad game for North Texas winning 81-0. It was the worst 81 points I've ever seen. This team's got to step it up.
Ugly win.
Yeah, what an ugly 81 points. The strides were off as they were strolling into the end zone. It just didn't look crisp. I got to tell you. You got to improve that. God, it would just be so great. Like, I don't need drama down the stretch. I don't need bad drives. I don't want to question the offensive coordinator. I don't want to, you know, take a look on Football Scoop to see which special teams coordinator is available. You know, I don't want to do any of that stuff. I want to just tweet happy things and just tweet stats like North Texas is scoring the first 17 drives, all one play. Touchdown drives. It's been great.
They had 30 minutes of possession in the first half.
Yeah. Like, I want to just, you know, like, the first 7 interceptions by Eric Jenkins went for touchdowns. And the last 2, he almost took it all the way back. You know, like, that's, I want to tweet stuff like that. That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah. At halftime, I want to refill my drink because I'm having fun, not because I'm trying to drown my sorrows.
Yeah, definitely. Jason Jones said he felt like Louisiana Tech is going to come out ready to play. I think they are also. I think North Texas is going to come out excited, ready to do some things. They've had 2 straight weeks where they could point to things and say, we got to improve in these areas. And
I think in this game, we have to make a statement win.
Yeah. And I think North Texas has enough to do it. Like, the offense plays well, you know, like, you know, you're playing well, and you kind of feel like, a drop is coming. And I want to say that was FAU. That was it. That's what happened. Like, we're too excited about the UTSA win. Felt like we won something, maybe. Okay, I can buy that. I don't really agree with it, but I can buy it, right? Maybe we played a little bit better than we should have, right? And we came down to our averages. Okay, I'll take any of that. Now, well, go ahead. What are you about to say?
Oh, nothing important. I was just gonna say, yeah, we were definitely antsy in our pantsy for that game.
Yeah, and so then, all right, FAU is a bad loss, and then we come home, and I don't know. I feel like we weren't really ready for Old Dominion for a lot of reasons. Just we're still getting over that FAU loss. I think you felt like that. I felt like that. Now we're over it, right? Now we can get back to ready playing. This is an easy game to get excited for because Louisiana Tech is a good team, and all those lessons and preparation you could point to and say, hey. You can't take them lightly because Louisiana Tech has the capability of beating your ass, as Seth Trell would say it, and making you look real bad. And nobody wants that taste in their mouth. So I think they can get prepared for that. And I also don't think that Louisiana Tech is firing on all cylinders that we have zero margin for error like we did against Florida Atlantic. I think we maybe have some margin for error here. They remind me a lot of Southern Miss.
I think it's going to be, I'm going to be watching Louisiana Tech's defense. That's what this game's going to be predicated upon. Can La Tech's defense hold the North Texas offense? Because I don't think, I mean, I sound so cocky and overconfident, but
you
I don't think.
You do, I got to say it. So,
I don't think La Tech can keep up. As long as we score, La Tech can't keep up. If we stagnate and we don't score, then we're screwed.
Yeah, you know, we cut through Old Dominion in the first couple of drives, like hot knife through butter, right? Hot knife. I don't know that we do that against La Tech, but I still think we can score. And that's a subtle difference You know, it just means that we have to reach deep into our bag of tricks. That means we have to, you know, use some of our pitches that we don't use, or we can't just throw fastballs the whole time, right? We got to maybe throw a curveball a little bit. And that's fine. It's, again, that's what we did against UTSA, and we had some success there. We had a couple third down conversions. We almost got sacked. Jeff Wilson had to make a good pass protection, pass block. Couldn't think of the word. And then, you know, we got some great conversions there. That was kind of reaching deep, you know, like, what do we got here? Do we have a toss to Jalen Guyton running across the formation? Let's do that. Against Lamar, we didn't have to do that. Against Old Dominion, we didn't have to do that. It was a lot of just straight run your offense kind of thing. And I think Louisiana Tech means, against Louisiana Tech, we're going to have to do a little bit what we did against UTSA, because they have a good defense. They're smart. They have some talented defensive backs. But I believe in our team. I think we have enough. We have a good repertoire that we can go down the field and score. So I agree with you, although maybe slightly differently, I guess. A more detailed agreement.
La Tech is more like UTSA than Southern Miss in terms of style. So I think, I think we can go toe-to-toe.
I like it. I think my prediction is that we win this game 31-28, and maybe I die of a heart attack. In which case, I'll be done with all this. I won't have to be stressed out every week. It'll be fine. Unless I go to hell, and then in hell they make me watch stressful North Texas games like to the end of time. That's my torture.
And for all eternity.
Yeah, that'll be my punishment.
At least it's not Todd Dodge football.
I already lived through that, man. They can't make me do that again. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Mean Green Nation preview edition of the Mean Green Nation podcast, and we appreciate you listening. You can subscribe, leave a review, tell your friends about it, etc., etc. I'm Adam. Aldo, you have anything to say? You want to wrap it up?
81-0.
All right, go Mean Green, yo.